Good morning, everybody, and it's great to be here with you all. I think I would prefer to be sitting back there instead of up here, but last Sunday I was talking to Bob and Joe, and they convinced me that I should say something, so I'm happy to do so. I told them, I don't think that I can say no to somebody that's been so generous with us. And so we appreciate the support, the encouragement, the communication with everybody. I would like to share briefly what's happening there in Honduras. It's a little hard to know what to share, what you know, what you don't know. So if you act bored, I'll just move along a little quickly. If you act interested, I can get a little long-winded depending what the subject is. Christian Lay Missions is a place where we've served for the last 13 years. We moved as a family in 2011 to Peña Blanca, Honduras. We've been there for a number of years now, and I'm not sure I'm sharing from my perspective on the ground there. Yes. Okay, yes, this was our home before we moved to Honduras, for those of you who are not aware of that. But yes, this is home for us when we come back here. So yeah, it's great to, always good to come back. When we moved to Honduras, I was thinking back to how things were when we moved there. We moved into the house where Davey and Janelle are living now. We lived there a number of years. After about 5 years, we moved off of the mission compound into a rented house, and eventually we have our own house at this point. So as time goes on, we are putting down more and more roots. It feels like our children, some of them were born there, and so they're Honduran by birth, dual nationality, and so it feels home there as well. I believe there's four basic ministries that Christian Light Missions is involved in. If I miss something, feel free. James is very familiar with what's going on. Abundant Life Clinic in the mountains of Erandique, Carrizal. It's about 4 hours drive from where we live. It's a medical clinic offering healthcare in an area with limited, or in the time when it was built, non-existent medical options. It was built with the vision to open doors of opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. It's a way to establish ourselves in the community in a way that allowed us or gave us the opportunity to share the gospel. I'm not that involved with the clinic personally, but been there a number of times and know the people who are serving there. It was founded, I'm not sure which year it was founded, early 2000s sometime, soon after the mission was established. Junior Troyer and his family lived in the area and built the clinic and were there in the first years. The bookstore, Christian Light Bookstore, is another ministry. Distribution of Bibles mostly. It started also in the early years with young men who filled backpacks with Bibles and walked into the mountains. I remember some of the young men, Roman Troyer, a few other young men who would load these big backpacks with lots of Bibles and just disappear into the mountains for a month or two or three at a time. In those days, communication was more limited. But they would travel village to village and ask the pastors who needs a Bible in this village. And from there, there was a store, a distribution center set up in our area. And there are a surprising amount of Bibles and books that move through this little store. I don't know the percentages. I didn't take the time to ask. Probably, I would guess, over 75% of the sales our Bibles. There are other study books and other literature available as well. They're sold at a subsidized price to make it more accessible, more affordable in Honduras. I briefly looked at 2023, and I believe the sales were in the area of 250,000 for the year 2023. So if you can imagine that amount of Bibles being distributed across Honduras, we are sure that it will have an effect, some type of effect on Honduras. Arrows for Christ Education Center is my area of responsibility. I'll leave it for now and talk a little bit more about that later. More recently, there's a wood shop that was the vision of John Weaver. He fundraised, he had it built. Some of you were there. I don't remember who it was. Bob, I think you were there to help build this building. Maybe Joe Berge, who all was that? I don't remember for sure. A few more of you all. Lauren. Okay. Okay, yeah. So the building you see in the picture on the right-hand side is the wood shop that was built. COVID hit and put a pause on everything, kind of upset the fruit basket. And so the wood shop sat for a while, for a number of years. And just recently, a young family came to head up the ministry of the wood shop, which is to teach the trade of woodworking to young men there. It's a project in development. And so there's lots of opportunity, lots to do in that area. I don't know what all you're interested in knowing, but I'm always interested in seeing pictures of people. People are what this is about. This is the staff or some of the staff at the clinic. On the left-hand side, Esdras Palacios is the administrator at the clinic. He runs the operation, does a super job of running the clinic. He's also a pastor and involved in evangelism and preaching to the patients who come to the clinic. There's an outdoor waiting area where all the patients sit waiting for their turn. And he does preaching, teaching, ministering at the clinic. Also have services, hold services there on the weekend. I'm not sure which days, sometimes through the week as well. The taller guy, Dr. Luis, has been there for a number of years. Really great doctor and very plugged into the work there. He's been there for quite a few years. I'm not sure how many. And then other support staff, nurses. There's a pharmacy there where we dispense medication. Up to this point, we've been a CAM clinic, which means that a lot of the medications were supplied by CAM, and we give the medication free of charge and charge a symbolic consultation fee to patients who come. I think it's, I'm not sure what it is, $2 or $3 maybe, the equivalent of $2 or $3 for consultation, and then the meds are free if we have them there. Some of that is changing, I'm hearing, so not sure what the future looks like, but at the time the clinic was built, it was a very needed ministry in that area and continues to bless the people, the community there. The bookstore is headed up by Baruch Grobler. Baruch and his wife, Kayla, moved to Honduras from South Africa with their family. Again, I'm not sure. I have a hard time with dates and years. This was probably 8 years ago or so, 7 or 8 years ago maybe. And maybe less, I'm not sure. Don't remember which year it was, but he runs the bookstore. And I had mentioned the wood shop. Mervin and Beth Yoder are a new family in Honduras. Passionate and alive, love Jesus and love to minister. We're excited about what God will do with them and the wood shop. And everybody knows these folks probably. Davey and Janelle are from here. Mariana, Rafael, they live where we moved, the house where we moved originally. They live on the mission property and take care of mission business. So they're the administrators on the compound there. Take care of the guest house. If any of you decide to visit Honduras, you're welcome to stay in the guest house. Very nice quarters, very comfortable. And Davey and Janelle will take great care of you. Some more people that are key to the Christian Light Missions is this family. His name is Jose Gavarrete. We all call him Chapino. His wife, Noelia, their children, Ruth, Isaac, and Hadassah, live neighbors to us, and we work in ministry together with Chapino and Noelia. He is Honduran by birth, came to the States as a young man, became converted in South Carolina, met his wife in South Carolina, who's from Argentina, and was sent back to Honduras as an evangelist to his own people. He has a gift and a calling of evangelism. So he does a lot of preaching, traveling, a very dear couple. Some of you probably have read the book, Finding My Father, which is his life story. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. You can find it on Amazon. Go look for it and read it. It's a inspirational story, and you will not be disappointed. I can guarantee you. And the proceeds support the family and ministry as well. So, mentioned that. This is the church there, Iglesia Evangelica Luz Cristiana, where we attend and serve. Most of you have probably heard the story. This is the site of a local bar that was prayed over and prayed for, and God gave this property and this location to the church to build a church building in the exact location where the church is. There was a bar at one point at the just entering the town of Elading, where we live on the main street. So that's a great location for a church. These are some of the people we serve with in leadership at the church there. On the top left is Felix Peña. He's a local brother from Peña Blanca. Chapino in the top center, Isaías on the right-hand side, his wife Beda underneath him, and in the bottom center, Liliana Ortega, and myself. We are on the leadership team at the church in Elading, which operates, just self-governed, but operates alongside the mission. The mission provides a supportive role, not necessarily a governing role in the church. Don't know if that's accurate. It's always a little difficult to explain the relationship of the church with the mission, but that's from my perspective. So that's basically everything I wanted to say before I get into the school. I don't know if there's questions at this point, but I guess I'll just open it up if there's any questions up to this point. The school is Arrows for Christ Education Center. In Spanish, Centro Educativo Saetas para Cristo. And our theme verse at the school is Psalm 127:4. It's the verse we take the name from. Like arrows, in the hands of a warrior, our children born in one's youth. Verse 3, the verse preceding this one, says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. I think I'm reading from the NIV here. It's the idea of our children being arrows that we shape and form with great care and precision so that they fly straight and directly to the mark that God intended for them. And that encapsulates our vision at school. Our vision is to work together with Christian families in the formation of hearts and minds for a life of impact in our communities and for the glory of God. And the mission statement, to honor Jesus Christ by equipping our students to become lifelong servant leaders in their communities and in the world. We partner with Christian families in the pursuit of excellence in the spiritual, academic, artistic, physical, and social growth of our students. We offer holistic education with a non-denominational, Christ-centered focus. I remember when we labored over these statements, trying to sort of put into words what our vision is. And I don't know if we did a good job or not with encapsulating that, but this is what we came up with as our guiding principles in what we're doing at the school there. The school is a kindergarten to ninth grade education. We accept students at 5 years old in kindergarten, and I'm going to put my daughter in the spotlight here. She's the only one I had pictures of, both in kindergarten and then I might have Freddie's pictures too, I'm not sure. Both as a starting student and also as a graduate at our school. Ninth grade is considered secondary school in Honduras. After that, it would be high school, which we don't offer at this time. It's a bilingual education. All students are required to learn English and Spanish starting in kindergarten. The year begins in February and ends in November. We are at midterms right now. Last week and this week are both vacation weeks at school, and so we're right at midterm with our school term there. This is our current teachers, left to right. Rachel Yoder teaches third grade English subjects in third grade. Second is Christina Yoder, their sisters. She teaches sixth and seventh grade in the English subjects. The third in line is Annalisa Miller. She teaches fourth and fifth grade English subjects. All three of them are from Ohio and came as a package. So we really appreciate what they do. Beside Annalisa is Blanca Mendoza. She's local and teaches the Spanish subjects from sixth grade to ninth grade. Beside her is Catherine Chirinos. She was the first former student turned teacher at school. So it was very encouraging to see a former student come back and teach. She teaches second grade, all subjects. She's bilingual. Beside her, about in the center with dark glasses, is Liliana Ortega. She teaches third to fifth grade Spanish subjects. And beside her, Lesbia Munoz. The two are sisters. She teaches first grade, all subjects. Then Sarai Aragon is our science teacher, third grade through ninth grade. And beside her is her sister, Bunny Aragon. She's our kindergarten teacher. And then we have Miss Amy. Amy Bauman is a helper in kindergarten. She teaches English, kindergarten English. She starts them out from zero to something. So she has an interesting job. Second to last is Rachel Lapp from Pennsylvania. She teaches 8th and 9th grade English subjects. And on the end is my daughter, Alana. She takes care of the cafeteria and other miscellaneous responsibilities, like cleaning bathrooms or whatever else needs to be done. A group of all female teachers. I appreciate having some male teachers sometimes. So if any of you have the calling, feel free to reach out to us. I didn't have this year's picture, group picture. This is from 2023. We currently have 97 students enrolled. We started 10 years ago with 20 students, so it's grown from 20 to almost 100 now. This is what it's about. I look at those faces. My office at school has a large window, and I can see all the comings and goings. And I watch faces. I love to watch faces. Every face here has a story, has a history. They all come from families. Most of them have some type of need, as we all do. And our vision, our goal, is to raise up the next generation of spiritual leaders in our communities. And it's not easy, it's not always there's many challenges along the way, there's many obstacles that we faced, continue to face, and we appreciate your prayers because we're not interested in wasting our time or their time. Their parents, all of them, have entrusted these young children into our hands for the purpose, specifically for the purpose of education, with an emphasis we're very emphatic on our spiritual focus and our vision for to build families spiritually. And so they partner with us, just like our vision statement states. We're working together with these families. Most of them are not from our local church. They come from a variety of backgrounds and churches. We asked some of the parents a little while ago, why do you send your children to Saetas para Cristo, which is Arrows for Christ? Henry Alvarenga says, we prayed to have our children in a Christian institution with a spiritual foundation. This is a school that understands the call of God to fulfill the Great Commission and prepare future generations for the glory of God. We see in our children the fruit of the prayer and dedication of everyone involved in this place. Thank you for being part of the transformation of many families. Few statements from some other families. Joseph says, we are grateful for a school like Saetas para Cristo. We want our children to be educated in a Christ-centered environment with high standards of Christian conduct, with the sole mission of training our children for the service of the Lord. The school plays a fundamental role in the formation of children who know God, love Him, and obey Him from the heart. Jorge David, we chose to send our students to Saetas para Cristo school because it adheres to the scriptures and is the place where my children can be reinforced in what they are taught at home and church about knowing God. This will help them to be forged as instruments of honor for His glory. This young man is a pastor in a church in a neighboring town. We've learned to appreciate them very much. Dagoberto, one of our greatest concerns as a family has been giving our daughters an education with Christian principles. So when our oldest daughter, Heidi, was ready for school, we prayed for direction, and God opened the doors to enroll her in Saetas para Cristo. That our daughters are able to be in this school is an answer to our prayer. And we could go on and on. Most of the families express similar sentiments. I added this picture because recently we did an addition on the school and put out the call for funds. We did some fundraising at school. I did some activities and the parents raised money. But there was a significant sum of money that came from here, from Christian Lake Church here in Bedford. And the addition is the two-story part. We're just in the process of finishing this up. We've been working at it for a while. But I wanted to include it here because just wanted to say thank you to those of you who are responsible for helping to support this. In the bottom of this addition is a classroom, and in the front part is a small office. This is an inside view of the classroom part. It's the second grade classroom. And the upstairs is an open area, about 18 by 32 approximately, which will be an area for the library, the books. The library will be up here. Use it for conferences, staff meetings, teacher lounge. So we're going to make it a nice place for teachers to work in the afternoons, especially when the classrooms get unbearably hot. So thank you all for what you've done for the school. The school appreciates it very much. Tried to limit myself to old pictures, so just for to protect the children there. These pictures are all old enough that I doubt they're recognizable except by people that know the individuals. So it's fascinating to me to watch young children at school, at Saetas para Cristo, at Errors for Christ. We live, we love, we laugh, we cry, we work, we play, we discipline ourselves. We spend days, weeks, months, years investing in these children. We invest resources, we invest time, we invest sweat. We're filled with joy and filled with despair sometimes. Sometimes encouraged and sometimes discouraged. Sometimes lifted up, sometimes cast down. Sometimes we do well, sometimes we fail. But we're always pushing forward, always putting one foot in front of the other. And why is that? What is it that motivates us? It's when we look at these young children, when we look at these young people, look into their faces, and we understand that eternity resides in these young people. These are not a commodity to be taken lightly. They're something we invest in, something we believe in, something we trust God for, something we believe that God is doing in Honduras, and praying and hoping and begging God for His grace and His anointing so that there's an eternal difference. And that's what we do at the school. That's kind of a little snapshot. If you want to get in touch, feel free to get in touch with us. We love communicating with people. WhatsApp, Facebook, email, whatever. Feel free to get in touch with us. We're working currently on some type of scholarship program for families who are struggling financially. The school charges a tuition cost. It's subsidized by Christian Light Missions. The families raise about 50% of operating costs and the mission the other 50. There's always need for good teachers, people who want to invest and mentor young people, solid spiritual young people who are looking for a place to serve. Feel free to reach out, communicate if you wish. I don't know if there's any questions. I guess I'll just open it up at this point for if anybody has something they would like to say or ask. Or maybe some of you that are involved would like to add something. They come, the farthest ones are probably, I would guess, 20 miles away. Most of them are fairly local. Yeah. And there's huge demand. The enrollment process is complicated just because of the demand. For every child we accept, we deny one or two. So we only have room to accept maybe 30 to 50% of the applications. So it's a difficult process sometimes. I wish we could do more. I wish we could reach more people. I wish we could start schools in other places. There would be a need for that. Yes, Mark.
How is the relationship with for the government schools in the community? How do they relate to you or you to them?
So great question. Thank you for that. We have a great relationship with the government schools. Before we started the school, the first thing we did was talk to the local school directors, the public school directors, and we set up a temporary agreement with a local school director to operate under his umbrella. And so he actually provides legal coverage for the school. It was temporary in the beginning, but we're 10 years in and still loving the arrangement. They're very supportive and allow us to have great freedom in our methods and books we use, the curriculum. And so all of our students get government-issued diplomas, certificates of study. So it's been a really good arrangement. They have certain standards that we need to meet up to, but they're very supportive, and we've had great relationships with them, which is important to us. I would like to share a verse with you all that I came across recently. It's 1 Timothy 4:14, where it says, "Do not neglect the gift you have." I think this is ESV. "Which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." The context here, in the first part of the chapter, Paul is sending Timothy into the church, to the church at Ephesus. And the church at Ephesus had some issues. There was some false teachers, some false doctrine. It appears as if there were some things that needed to be set in order. And Timothy was a young man, and from what we know about Timothy, probably timid, a little shy, a little insecure. And Paul is building up Timothy in the book of Timothy here and telling him, go and set in order this church. Go correct this and this. Do it this way. Don't allow this to happen. And it's very interesting, talking about the not neglecting the gift that you have, which was given you by the laying on of hands of the Council of Elders. In Colossians, let me see if I have this here. Paul talks about a mystery in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. The mystery, he talks about the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery that was hidden from the Gentiles, from the world, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is when God, the God of heaven, takes a part of himself and puts it inside human flesh. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ simply means the anointing. And the time when Jesus walked the earth, he went around healing the sick people. He went around raising the dead and blessing and encouraging people. And people saw the anointing on Jesus and saw the works that he did. And they said, that is the Christ. That is the Christ. Because they identified the anointing of God, the anointing of God in human flesh. And he became known as Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. And Paul is essentially saying in Colossians, this is the mystery of the gospel that we have, that Christ in us. We have the anointing in us. That's the mystery. That's the message of the gospel. In the book of 1 Timothy, here, he talks about, in verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Devote yourself to the public reading of the scripture, to exhortation, to teaching, and do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you. Practice these things, in verse 15, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress, and keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's a fascinating study, but when I came across this, I started asking people, what is the gift that you have? And I wonder what you would say if you were asked, what is the gift that you have? Because we are given gifts. God gives us gifts. What is it that you possess? What is it that God has placed in you that you should not neglect? Just prior to this, it's talking about exercise. The exercise, physical exercise, which profits little, but exercise to godliness, which is of great profit. And it's saying here, don't neglect this thing that God has placed in you. Do not neglect it. Neglect it. Exercise that gift. When I was a young person, I had no idea what gift I had. I believe probably if you would have asked me, I would have said, I don't know what gift God gave me. And that's probably fairly normal for young people. As time goes on and as I am involved in ministry and work, working with people, dealing with people, I'm becoming more and more aware of the gift that God has placed in me. But it requires exercising, it requires doing, it requires participating in the work that God has for you. It's interesting also that it appears that the pattern here is the recognition of that gift by the congregation. And our job as leaders, as spiritual leaders, is to recognize and call out those gifts in the people under us. If you see the gift in somebody, recognize it, call it out, and bless it. That is how we can discover the gifts that we have. We discover that gift not by some divine revelation, but in the course of doing, we discover that this is what God has for us. As we see the need, as we fulfill the need, as we minister, as we reach out, as we exercise ourselves in godliness, and then God calls us to the ministry, to the work. And I just want to leave you all with that thought. Do not neglect the gift in you. Whatever that gift might be, if you don't know what it is, just start doing what's in front of you. Just do what God puts right in front of you. And the people around you will recognize the gift of God in you, that anointing, that Christ that is in you, the anointing of God in your life. And so I think that's all I have, really. God bless you all. Thank you very much for your patience and your attention. I think I'll just leave it right there.